Really good to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here, especially if you're a guest. Thanks for coming to worship with us, and trust this won't be your last time. You'll come back and share life with us again as we get to worship God and spend time singing and praying and just listening to God's Word and being encouraged and challenged by His Word. Now, I don't know about you, but I see distractions everywhere. Do you ever get distracted? You know what the biggest distraction in life is for most of us? What? Squirrels? That too. But these little devices that we carry around in our pockets, big time distractions. Big time. Distractions are everywhere, and they come in all shapes and sizes, and well, just take a look.
Koira pysähtyy, mutta tulee perille.
Hei. Istu.
Ja selkeästi Esmo saa heti vainun siitä, että lähellä on lenkkimakkaraa.
No niin. Hieno istu.
Upeasti Esme menee koko houkutusten highwayn. Ei epäröi.
Squirrels, food, I don't know, it's all those things. Distractions are so real in life, and they're so much a part of life, and it resembles our dog, right, Diana? Hershey would be that one, for sure. You know, distractions that happen in our lives keep us from being attentive to those things that really matter. And it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, like all kinds of things can be distracting to us. But it keeps us from being attentive to the things that are most important. Especially when it comes to following Jesus. I mean, how many times are we distracted by things instead of doing what's most important as a follower of Christ? How many times are we distracted by stuff that's going on around us instead of doing what we know is most important as a follower of Jesus? You know, over the last few Sundays, we've been talking about the main thing. Keeping the main thing, and not being distracted by outside forces and things that are around us. We talked about what it meant to be about connecting people who are hurting and are broken, and who live lives far from God. We talked about what that meant and what that looked like and why it was important to keep that in the forefront. It's the most important thing. It's why we are here. It's why we exist as a church. And sometimes we get distracted from that. Mel talked last week. He did an amazing job when he talked about the idea of the main thing of growing up, becoming passionate, spiritually mature followers of Jesus and doing what God has called us to do. That's why we do Wednesday nights. That's why we do the fuel classes. That's why we do Sunday school. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why small groups exist. It's so that people can grow up and become passionate and spiritually mature in their quest to follow Jesus. Sometimes, though, distractions happen, and they prevent us from doing what's most important. We also, part of who we are here at Covenant is we're about serving people with the love of Jesus. Serving people who struggle with life issues. Serving people who are just struggling with every aspect of life. Now, here's the cool thing, it's an interesting thing. Serving is not something that just people in the church do. Did you know that? I mean, we live in especially in a day and age like today, we live in a day and age where people love to serve. Not necessarily people who are Jesus followers. They just want to serve. They want to do something to help improve society. And I've seen some statistical numbers, and I've read lots of blogs this week about why people do that. And some of them want to just be fulfilled. Some people want to feel good about themselves. Some people just want to help. I mean, you know, if Miss Francis, if I were to ask you, you know, what's the first question that people ask you after they found out your house burned out? My guess would be, and you can tell me this is right or not, but my guess would be people said, how can I help? Is that right? That's what people want to do. People in today's world want to help others. It's not just because they're Jesus followers, right? But how important it is for us. That's why we make our mission part, the part of serving, very distinct. Did you catch what ours is? Serving people with the love of Jesus. There's a huge difference between serving and serving people with the love of Jesus. And I don't want us to get distracted by the things that the world tells us are important or how the world tells us to serve. We get to be part of a transforming community of faith. That we live as Jesus followers, and we get to live in that world where our goal is not just to give stuff away, but to help people see Jesus in us. And help people know that there's an eternity to be gained as they live life. That's why we serve. We serve people with the love of Jesus. When I read passages like the one that's in your bulletin this morning, sometimes I've probably read that passage, I know gazillion in real number, but it feels like I've read that passage a gazillion times, right? Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Grab your bulletins, we're going to read that in a minute. Well, I've probably read that passage a gazillion times, and when I read it a couple weeks ago, preparing, thinking about today, it was like one of those times that you just get slapped in the face. You ever had that happen when you're reading Scripture? It's like, boom, hello! Do you see what this really says? Do you understand what this is talking about? It was one of those eye-opening experiences for me, again, as I read, because sometimes I get really distracted by the tyranny of the urgent. Does that ever happen to you? And sometimes I need to get the slap in the face or the knock upside the head or something or other to say, hey, this is about you. As a follower of Jesus Christ, this is what we're to be about. This is who we are. Serving people with the love of Jesus. That's the most important piece. Sometimes in life and in ministry, we get so distracted. We get distracted by so much stuff. Sometimes we have this great quest that we want to see the spectacular, when serving people might just be what Jesus talks about in this passage. Giving people a cup of water. Putting your arm around somebody, telling them you love them. Just small little things. You know, sometimes we want that big stuff. We want that. What I realize more and more every day, my life, in the life of the church, in the life of the world in which we live, we are moving at warp speed. I mean, life goes past us so fast that we just miss some stuff. We get distracted by things going on, and we miss the most important things right in front of us. I don't want us to miss that stuff. So I want you to we're going to read this passage together. So grab your bulletins, you're going to need them. And we're all going to read it in unison. So hopefully you've all got a bulletin, you can look on somebody. Let's read this passage of Scripture together. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you are blessed by My Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Wow. Do you see why it slapped me upside the head? Wow. You know, we're gonna talk about those words in a little more depth here in a minute, but what grabs me in this passage of Scripture is the fact that being in ministry and serving people is just ordinary people doing some very ordinary things and being the hands and feet of an extraordinary God. That's what ministry is. That's what serving is. Anyone know the name William Booth? Does that name ring a bell? William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. One morning he was getting ready for his day and into the room walked his son Bramwell. And William Booth looked at his son and he said, Bramwell, did you know that people sleep under the bridges at night in the freezing weather? And Bramwell looked at him and said, well, yeah, a lot of people do that. And Booth looked at his son and he said, then you ought to be ashamed of yourself. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves to know it and have done nothing for them. And his son began to talk about this program, this social program called the Poor Law Program. And Booth said, no! Come on! That's not enough! It's not enough to talk about it! We gotta go and do something about it! We must do something. What can we do? Let's give them a shelter. Let's give them some place to stay. Let's give them some blankets they can cover up. And his son said, well, Dad, it's going to cost money. It doesn't matter. We'll figure it out where it's going to come from. Go and find a warehouse. Let's find some beds. Let's find a place for them to come. And it was that conversation that started the shelters that are now called the Salvation Army. One conversation. Ordinary people, of an extraordinary God. Just trying to figure out how they could be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world in which they lived. Keeping the main thing is people like you and me. And it's people like William and Bramwell Booth. Just ordinary people doing ordinary things. I mean, a place to stay. And a blanket to cover up with, a bed to lay on. So let me flesh out what that statement really says and what it looks like and what it means for each one of us. It's God using ordinary people. People like you and me. How many of us have listened to people like Tim and Jennifer Goshorn, who are our missionaries that we support in Peru? We've heard them speak here. We know that they're doing work in Peru. We look at that and we marvel at that. Or people like Mike and Sherry Morrissey, who are in Thailand doing work among the orphans there. The kids who need just shelter and food and someone to care about them. Or we think about people like Amber Fuchs, whom we've heard and we support in her work in Croatia. And we think, man, I could never do that. I could never just sell everything and go to Peru. Are you kidding me? I could just never sell everything and go to Thailand or Croatia. What? But it's just, or how many of us have sat in a Sunday school class, or even been part of a Sunday school class, and we watch our teacher and think to ourselves, there is no way I could do that. There's no way I could, I don't know that much. I don't know, I couldn't do that. Well, here's what I know. Listen, God calls every one of us who are Jesus followers to be in ministry. None of us are excluded. God calls every one of us to do something in order to serve Him in our daily lives. In order to be about kingdom work. In order to make a difference in people's lives. And the list that Jesus talked about, it's pretty simple stuff. Feeding somebody who's hungry, giving somebody a drink, putting clothes on somebody, being hospitable when they need a place to stay. Those kind of things, it doesn't have to be some crazy, conjured up plan. It can be really, really simple. And it doesn't have to be in the places like Peru and Thailand and Croatia. It can be in our neighborhoods. It can be in La Grange. It can be in Oldham County. God wants to use ordinary people to do ordinary things. To be the hands and feet of an extraordinary God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it's clear. We are called to be ministers. We are called to be servants of the King. Every person, old, young, boy, girl, man, woman, doesn't matter. We're called to be servants. We're called to do ministry. We're called to figure out where people have a need, and then figure out what it's going to look like as we try to meet that need. And try to be Jesus with skin on to people who live around us. So often, God takes the simple things of life, and He totally confounds the mysteries of the world. You ever notice that? God takes these simple little things, and boy, He just messes with people's minds. Because God's just simple like that. And God is about God things. And it just totally, the world doesn't understand it. They don't get it. Why would people do that? Why would people go out of their way? God uses the weak to shame the strong. He uses the lowly and despised to exalt and glorify Him. 1 Corinthians 1 tells us that over and over and over again. God uses ordinary people to do ordinary things. Now we could spend some time this morning and we could create this list of stuff that we could do. We could call it kingdom work. We could create a list of a gazillion things that would be good stuff, and it could be kingdom work as long as we're about doing it, right? But not everybody's called to the same thing. Listen, what I do know is this. God might call me way different than He's going to call Tom. God's going to call Tom differently than He's going to call BJ. God's going to call BJ differently than He's going to call Kelly. Or Linda. Or Rebecca. Or Lynn. God's going to call us differently. And that's the cool thing. Is because we are followers of Jesus, God's going to call us in different ways to meet different needs, and He's going to be glorified because of all of it. Ordinary things. And Jesus makes this cool list in Matthew 25, and He talks about what that looks like. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's as simple as what has happened down at the ark. I mean, people say, well, how does tutoring do anything for the kingdom of God? Really? You gotta go down there sometime. That's pretty cool stuff that happens down there. How does telling stories, reading stories to these children, change their lives? Well, how about this? A kid walks in and says, hey, Miss Linda, this is my church. Didn't he? Hey, Miss Linda, can I pray today? These kids have never been to church in their life. It's just ordinary people doing ordinary things. And it makes this kingdom difference in the world in which we live. Maybe it's as simple as asking someone, hey, how you doing? And taking the time to actually listen to their answer. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's in school. Maybe it's at your favorite place of leisure, wherever that might be. You know, there are real jails and real prisons within a stone's throw of our church. Now you say, hear what you're thinking. Well, yeah, I know. They're right down the road. We see it every day. Yeah? Those are real prisons with real iron bars and real doors that clang behind you when you go through them. But you know what? There are people that you and I know who are in prison every day. They're imprisoned to a bottle. They're imprisoned to a drug. They're imprisoned to pornography. They're imprisoned to food. Maybe God wants to use one of us to speak into their life. Ordinary people, ordinary things, because people need Jesus. They need to know the love of Jesus. You know, God allows us to be His hands and His feet. You've all heard the story. Maybe you've not heard the story, but there's a great story of a statue in Germany that was destroyed in World War II. And some students from here in the States, German students actually went to Germany to rebuild the statue. It's a statue of Christ. And they went to rebuild the statue, and they began to put it all back together. And they come to find out everything was there except for the hands of Jesus. And they're like, what do we do now? What should we take the time to? And one of the students came up with this. And they put it on the bottom of the statue. They left the hands off. And they put this on the bottom of the statue. Christ has no hands but ours. Christ has no hands but ours. So I want to challenge you right now. I want you to take a look at your hands. Go ahead, do it right now. Just look at your hands. What can those hands do to bring glory and honor to God? What can those hands do that will make a difference in somebody's life? We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world in which we live. And then that last part, it's ordinary people doing ordinary things to be the hands and feet of an extraordinary God. Of an extraordinary God. Listen to this. Imagine with me for just a moment the God of the universe, the God of all that we know, all that we see, all that we breathe, all that we think, the God of you, the creator of all of that, calls us, pursues us, so that we can be in a relationship with Him. How cool is that? Not just us, people who live around us. people outside these walls. God is pursuing them day by day by day, and He wants to use you and me as we serve people with the love of Jesus to woo them into Himself. The God of the universe calls us to be in a relationship. The psalmist declares the glory of God, the awesomeness of God, the magnitude of God. Just take some time and peruse your way through the Psalms. God, what we know about God is that God forgives sinners. God transforms lives. God restores life. He moves mountains. He heals the sick. He makes a lane to walk. He makes a way when there is no way. He's the beginning and He's the end. He's the rock of the ages. His faithfulness never ends. He's an extraordinary God. And He calls us to serve Him in the world in which we live so that we could love people like He does. Now, let me talk about the passage from Matthew just a minute, just for a second. Because I don't want you to go out here just saying, oh, well, you know, that's, you know, Jesus is just saying, oh, you just got to do this stuff. Well, listen, Jesus, in this passage, this is a parable, it's talking about the final judgment of all humankind. Eternal judgment. And Jesus is speaking about judgment that's going to happen to all persons. Those who ought to be taking care of people and issues and needs. Those who have concern for people regardless of the color of their skin. Regardless of the size of their pocketbooks. Regardless of where they come from. And regardless of what our politicians say about them. God is looking for... Jesus is really clear about His expectations for you and me as His children, for you and me as His kids. And what He thinks of those who care for and those who don't care for people. Within those words of Jesus are these powerful reminders of those of us who claim to be followers of Christ. That we should never ever be satisfied with letting someone else do what God has called us to do. I think I've told you this story before. Have you heard the story about the gamblers? You ever heard that? Did I tell you that story? The gamblers, it's not people that go to the casino. The gamblers were a group of Christian people, Jesus followers, back in 250 AD. They lived outside of the city of Carthage. And this group of people, the plagues hit the city of Carthage. And people died by the thousands. So much so that they would stack people on the side of the streets, inside the city walls, up to your head. I mean, dead people on the sides of the streets. The gamblers were those Christians, those followers of Jesus Christ, who took it upon themselves to go into the city to take every dead body out of the city at the very danger of being taken by the plague themselves. They gambled with their very lives in order to serve the city and the people of Croatia to show them Jesus. The gamblers. They took a risk. For the glory of God. They took a risk. And it's like it. I love this saying. Somebody said, God didn't save us to be a sensation. God saved us to be a servant. I love that. I love that statement. I love what that says. He didn't save us to be sensational. He saved us to be servants. To love people like He does. And maybe that's what Wesley was thinking about when he said this. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Listen, church. Ministry and serving people is, and keeping the main thing, the main thing, is you and I, ordinary people, doing ordinary things, being the hands and feet of an extraordinary God. We are those ordinary people. What might God be saying to you this morning, to us today, about being His hands and His feet where you live, where you spend time, where you are? You might say, well, no, man, I'm a nobody. Yeah, well, you know what? God specializes in nobodies, turns them into somebodies to bring Him glory. We get to be the hands and feet, the eyes of Jesus in the world in which we live. What's that going to mean for you, for me this week? How will that all make a difference? I want you just to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this morning, and then we're going to sing. And listen, if you want to pray where you are, that's cool. If you want to come and pray at the front, you can do that. But listen, what I do know is this, that God longs for you and me to be servants, to take the love of Jesus to a broken and hurting world.